The primary election is right around the corner, and for the first time in our state history, we have no excuse absentee balloting available to voters. Already, state officials, including the Secretary of the State, have highlighted the work that Connecticut has done over the years to strengthen election security, expand voting access, and prevent fraud. Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas back with us to talk more about this. Welcome back, Secretary of the State. Thank you for joining us. I want to get right into what you believe the state has done to build voter confidence and keep elections secure.
Good morning. Always happy to be back. Thank you so much. I believe so many things. Let's see. Transparency, for one. I've also tried to remind people about things I haven't built but have always existed in our system. Paper ballots, so we always have a record, equipment that's not connected to the internet, a Democrat and a Republican register our voters, jointly administering elections in every town, audits after elections, and we have the State Elections Enforcement Commission, which is something that doesn't exist in most states. So any single person in Connecticut who thinks something, they've seen something amiss, they can report it and it has to be investigated. These are things that have been a part of our system for a long time that help keep it secure. And then we have, of course, worked with the legislature to pass a number of laws over the last 3 years that have closed some paperwork loopholes, some other loopholes. And one of the things that I have really championed and been trying to get more and more resources devoted to is voter education. That is the best election security we can have. When people understand the rules, they are less likely to be taken advantage of or to sometimes unwittingly break the law. And it also allows all of us to spot when something is wrong.
And of course, always, and you're very good about this, by the way, and I appreciate it, Secretary of the State, because I'm sure you're sick of us bringing it up, but we kind of have to. Do you feel like, to some degree, voter education is the reason we have not seen clean elections in Bridgeport?
I think in part. I'll give you an example, and I may have said this to you before. Back in 2023, when the redo election was ordered, we were able to put an election monitor in Bridgeport. One of the things we did during the redo was call people who had applied for an absentee ballot. And there was one conversation in particular where a woman was like, "I believe in voting. I don't mind that I have to do it twice because it's so important that everyone votes in every election." So she was like, "I applied for my absentee ballot. I filled it out. I sealed it. And then I gave it to the nice lady to drop it off for me." And I'm like, "Okay, that is not allowed." But she had no idea. She didn't know that here in Connecticut, because it's not true in many, many, most states, actually. Here in Connecticut, only certain people can drop off your absentee ballot, like an immediate family member, police officer, a registrar of voters. In many states, your neighbor can drop it off. It just happens not to be legal here in Connecticut. So that underscored for me how important it is that people who think they're doing the right thing aren't always up on the latest laws and regulations. So we have done a lot of voter education work in Bridgeport in particular to cultivate a bit of a whistleblower situation. So if people do see something wrong, they know it's wrong and they can report it to the State Elections Enforcement Commission.
Do you feel like, Secretary of the State, we've done enough, though, for probably, I would argue, the other big problem in Bridgeport, which are really bad actors who just keep being able to star in the play? My point of saying that is you have people who have been proven to have broken the laws that are in place, and they keep being able to have some sort of power in the city. And I find that really suspect that. I understand that most of our municipalities don't run that way, but Bridgeport seems to. run that way.
And honestly, as much as I know about the executive branch, I know very little about the judicial branch. I think, like every other individual, I wish the courts could move faster. The same way people talk to me about elections sometimes, and I'm like, oh, you're not aware of these details going on behind the scenes. So I don't want to speak for the court system, but I do wish it would move faster. you know, when you have something related to an election, I think it's very important to identify it, report it, and have it adjudicated within a very short time frame.
I know, it just kind of blows my mind that we haven't passed a law, and I'm not saying this is on you, but I do find it really interesting. I always use this scenario that if you're a teacher and you've been accused of being inappropriate with a student, you're immediately put on leave. If you're a cop and you are involved in a shooting, even if you were in the right, you're put on leave. What I find fascinating is if you are somebody who has any kind of control over even local politics and you are accused of misusing ballots or stuffing ballot boxes or taking somebody's absentee ballot when they are not legally allowed to do that, any of those things, and even more, why you're allowed to still serve in that public sector, why you're still able to make decisions with a city council or with a town committee or in the mayor's office, why that is allowed. And you could take Bridgeport out of it. Why that's even allowed in any town or city, I don't know why we don't have more of those consequences in place. Because to your point, we do lack voter education. And I think your team has done an excellent job in creating this online platform. I know we've talked about this on the show. I've done it myself, even with my 8-year-old at home. It's effective and it's getting people into understanding it. I just don't know why on the other side of it, when you have bad actors who have been proven multiple times, not just once or twice, but multiple times of breaking the law, why we don't put them on leave. Why, you know, to your point, maybe the courts aren't acting fast enough, but also we're just kind of allowing it to continue.
And you know, whenever someone says a statement like that about any subject, what is in my control and my wheelhouse a little is to remind them about the fact that we live in a representative democracy and all of us have representatives elected at the local, state, and federal level. And if we have concerns, if we have ideas, it can be bad. You know, we could have concerns about something we don't like. We could have ideas about something we'd like to see. We could have positive feedback. Be in touch with your elected officials so that when the legislature convenes, maybe they think this is something they can take up and create a law around. I think it's so important for all of us to understand that it's part of our obligation, not just to vote, but to engage with our elected leaders. And that's what they're there for, to represent us.
We are chatting with the Secretary of the State, Stephanie Thomas, and we are coming up on a primary election in a matter of weeks. And I know one of the things that was highlighted by the state recently was that there's been a lot done to secure elections. And actually, Secretary of the State, I want to thank you because you invited me earlier this summer. Was it this summer? Was it the spring? I can't even remember. but to be there to talk to people who are at our polling places. And I just thought it was such a way to secure our polling workers and the people who want to also have secure elections and answer questions for people. I don't know if people know behind the scenes what your office does to really, you know, and again, this goes back to even your investment in new tabulators. And I do know this is something you're very focused on. So I know sometimes I will come off a little controversial when I ask questions, especially about Bridgeport. But, you know, people should also know behind the scenes, this is something that you dedicate an awful lot of time to and to also make sure people who are running our elections in person feel like they're their best selves as well.
Yeah, no, and please, I think people should ask questions. There's nothing wrong with questions. But what I don't like is when people don't actually seek out the answers, the actual answers. You know, they look at top lines from articles and whatnot. I don't know an election worker in our state here in Connecticut who would not welcome someone who has a concern to reach out to them. We have so much transparency built into the system, but most people don't take advantage of it. Like, most people don't know that every town was testing their tabulators yesterday, I believe. And that process is open to the public, and it has been for many years, but most people don't show up to, like, look how that's done, see how the equipment works, you know, the audit drawing, open to the public. There's so many opportunities to really learn what's going on behind the scenes. We think of elections as a one-day thing or a two-week thing, but registrars and clerks even are working on this year-round and, you know, following probably, I think the handbook is about 150 pages of procedures that happen every single day.
I wanted to also talk about something that came up, Secretary of the State, and I really, again, don't mean at all to be political or to get anybody triggered here. But I do, sincerely, I am curious about this, because there was a report out of New Jersey recently looking at DMV registrations. I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But the New Jersey governor earlier this month disclosing that, over a year's time, I think it was June of 23 to 24, more than 6,000 non-citizens were registered to vote because of a motor vehicle commission software issue. Now, here in Connecticut, there was actually a situation. It was one person, I believe, in West Hartford, who was undocumented but had been registered to vote through the DMV system since 2018. Now, again, not getting into the details of that case in particular, but I do know that there were questions towards your office as well as the commissioner for the DMV regarding if we are buttoned up. And I was curious if you could address that at all. You know, what do we do to verify citizenship and eligibility of registered voters, especially when it comes to the DMV? Do you feel like we're in a good place there? Or what are we doing to make sure? Because that is a concern, regardless if we agree with it or we don't. That is a concern for some Connecticut voters.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the two cases are not really similar at all. But here in Connecticut, so for example, the way our DMV system works is not utilizing the same type of technology, if that makes sense, as the New Jersey system. So okay. The type of thing that happened there wouldn't happen here. Although, because our case came up the same week, it seems like it could, but it's very different. The case we had in West Hartford, and it is important to note that we don't know if the individual made checked like a false attestation on the form, or it was through it was in 2018 when it was a manual process, and staff members would key it in. So we don't know if the staff member keyed it in incorrectly. And because the record retention time frame has passed, we'll never know. But I just want to say, like, we don't know if someone was falsely saying something or if it was a human error. So and that individual was also had already been made inactive because of that regular routine maintenance work that the registrars do, and this person never voted. So I think what I would say is that we are buttoned up, but humans do make mistakes from time to time.
Sure.
And I think often when people hear about a mistake like that, I don't have the details of the New Jersey case, but here in Connecticut, we did have a non-citizen voter in 2024 that we had to refer to the State Elections Enforcement Commission. And same thing, the results, we don't yet know why that person did that, but it was came to light through the DMV in their sort of process of reviewing things. So these things do happen occasionally. And that is what the system is designed to do. There is no system in the world that is always 100% correct, because there are humans involved and there are sometimes bad actors involved. But you need a system that is designed to find those flaws, bring them very quickly to light, and then adjudicate them if that is the case. And that is the system we have here in Connecticut.
I am curious, though, Secretary of the State, and maybe I don't know this, but if you can register your vehicle and you can even get the driver-only license, and I know this from having people who have lived here illegally, are you able to vote?
No, not with a drive-only. There's several types of licenses, so I just want to make sure I'm clarifying. There's a non-driver ID, which can serve as a photo identification, but then there's a drive-only license for undocumented, and you cannot use that to vote.
But if you register your vehicle, can
marked,
you?
And it's marked.
Okay. But if you register your vehicle, can you vote?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
So if you're able to register, can't you register your vehicle even if you're not living here legally, or are you not able to do that?
Oh, that I don't know offhand. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's way outside of my wheelhouse.
Oh, well, I was just saying, because if that's the case, again, maybe I don't have that case correct with the West Hartford, but if they were able to register their car, wouldn't that allow them to be able to vote in elections? Or no, we don't know.
I don't understand the connection.
Well, I guess that's what this is kind of saying. Again, maybe I don't understand, or maybe it's for Commissioner Guerrera, but my understanding was this person who had their vehicle registered was somehow able to then vote in Connecticut elections.
Well, the issue was that person was registered to vote.
Got it.
That's why I'm saying we don't know if someone keyed in, yes, a citizen, or if they marked that they were a citizen. But is why that happened. Yeah.
Okay. All right. But you feel like that doesn't happen widespread, or it's not a concern, or that we have with the DMV records, we have that buttoned up, you feel, in the state?
I feel like it's buttoned up. Everything is a concern when there is an error made. So you look at the system, see how it can be improved, etc. But here in Connecticut, there is nothing like that. That is widespread.
Okay. Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas, I always appreciate you giving us the time here on WICC. Thank you so much. And as mentioned, the primary election coming up in just a couple of weeks. If you want any information, we always share this website, and I will put it with the Secretary of the State's podcast on our website, voiceofct.com, and that is myvote.ct.gov. I will attach that to her podcast after the show wraps up this morning. Thank you again, Secretary of the State Stephanie Thomas. We appreciate your time always.